Neighborhood Voice explores community issues through the lens of local residents. We've spent time talking with entrepreneurs about their experiences running small businesses and how they've adapted during the pandemic. Now we're getting local perspectives on COVID-19, the vaccine, and some barriers to accessing it. I'm your host, Erica Pfizer, and this week I'm joined by Tracy Lewis, Director of Community Advocates of Northern Indiana. Thank you for joining me, Tracy.
Thank you so much for having me, Erica.
Tell me more about your organization and what you do in the area.
Sure. Community Advocates is a minority health coalition that works as a community health-based organization, connecting members in the community with resources in the community. And during COVID, what we've been doing is acting as the connection between the Indiana State Department of Health and the community and its needs.
And I would imagine that the way you've been communicating with the community has changed from, you know, a few years ago when you could do lots of in-person events, conferences, educational meetings, to having to do, I'm sure, most things online. Can you tell me how your programming has changed?
For sure. You said it. We are a high-touch organization. We're always having health fairs and health presentations and things like that. During COVID, it's been Zoom. Everything has been virtual. And so that's been a little bit of an adjustment. But the great thing is we can convene stakeholders in ways that we couldn't before. Just today, we were on the line, State Department of Health, and then now I'm here. So I've literally been to Indianapolis and Maryville, all in about an hour and a half.
It does allow us to eliminate all of the geographic barriers, time constraints of travel, and pack more into our day, I think, than we might have been doing before.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so technology can be, though, a barrier for people getting information. So how have you tried to maybe skirt some of the barriers of just giving information through technology, especially if people don't have great internet access?
You raise a tremendous point. And especially in the areas that we serve, not everyone has access to technology. And so we still have done some events in person. We do health encounters where we're assessing community members to see if they have transportation issues. We're trying to get a handle on who's actually been tested, who needs and wants the vaccine and can't get it. And so we've got tremendous partnerships with churches and different multi-unit housing organizations, housing developments, where we actually go out and we set up. It's everyone's masked and socially distanced, but it's that important that we get out into those communities that, to your point, do not have access to technology. We want to make sure that they know they're not left out.
Exactly. And you mentioned that you are you were on the phone with the State Department of Health and talking about some vaccine sites. Can you tell me more about what's to come for the vaccine sites?
For sure. So as a minority health coalition, we're in place to eliminate health disparities and advocate on behalf of folks who, black and brown communities. And so what we found is vaccinations out of the 2 million that the State Department of Health has given out, about 87% have gone to white folks in our community, and 5% into black folks in our community. And so we're working to try and make sure that we deal with all of the barriers that might exist to keep minority population members from getting the vaccine. So with a mobile site, we're going into the community and at churches, at community centers, places where people, where there's a transportation desert, where they might not be able to get out to a major site like a fairgrounds out here, mm-hmm. or I think Maryville had one at the public health complex. So for for folks who can't get out to those sites, the mobile site is something that's going to come up quickly, and they're looking to have the Johnson & Johnson shot, which is the one shot, and have it in those areas where people traditionally aren't able to get out and go get and get services.
Now, you mentioned the Johnson & Johnson shot is the one shot. Yes. What are the other vaccine, I guess, manufacturers?
So there is the Moderna shot and the Pfizer shot. And those have been available since, I want to say, like February or a little bit earlier than that. But those are the other two shots that are available. And they're, you have to have two doses spread out by 21, 28 weeks. And I'm not a health professional, so let me put that caveat in there and just say, but those are the ones that are out there.
But I would imagine if we're delivering vaccines in an area or to a population that may have trouble with transportation or another barrier, that the one shot is going to be the best way for them to get fully vaccinated without having to worry about making two trips.
You're absolutely right. And one of the other barriers that kind of circles back to something you said earlier is the access to technology. And so to get the shot, you have to be registered. And so we've been working with different groups to try and make sure that the folks who don't have access to that technology can get registered and get to those mobile sites, and those community members are able to get the slots that are available out there.
And this, I'm going to say something that alludes, I think, to what you had mentioned before, and that is that Black, Hispanic, Native Americans were disproportionately impacted by COVID and yet are being vaccinated at lower rates than white Americans. And this is nationally, but also reflected in Indiana. And as a health coalition, I guess I just want to ask you what health equity, I guess, means to you, and if you feel like the COVID vaccine is, or there's an effort to distribute it in an equitable way?
Great question. So I'm going to break it down into some pieces here.
Yeah, that was a long one.
So to the point about the health equity and what it means, so it means that while this vaccine is available to everyone, there are systems in place that end up so that it's not accessible to everyone with the same levels of convenience. And so I want to say, first of all, as we all know, COVID came on quickly, and designing strategies to get the vaccine out has been a Herculean task. And so I want to give shouts out to the folks down at the State Department of Health, as well as health providers in the region. All this stuff had to come together really quickly, and it's a rapidly evolving kind of situation. It has revealed these vulnerabilities in our system that disproportionately impact Black and Brown communities, as you mentioned. And so what has been done is to engage community partners like CanI and others that are devoted to ensuring that accessibility is there for everyone and in an equitable way. And so we've been down doing meetings, looking at messaging, everything from messaging to the mobile sites to bringing a variety of different partners to the table, folks that you wouldn't otherwise call on. And I want to say one of the greatest partners we brought to the table, the state has welcomed, is churches. Because in Black and Brown communities, the church is a place that's a trusted resource for to disseminate a myriad of different kinds of messages and information and education. And so that's really been key in ensuring that there is health equity.
I'm glad to hear that that churches are playing a role with the state in distributing information. I think messaging that comes from within our own community and from people that we trust is more impactful sometimes than messaging that comes from state officials, elected officials.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so you mentioned transportation as one barrier. Are there other misconceptions that you've heard that maybe we could debunk? I know you're not a health official, but if there are other kind of common misconceptions or common questions that you've seen or heard that may be preventing some people from getting the vaccine.
Sure. I want to say probably the first challenge or barrier is the lack of trust between government and community members who feel like they've been misinformed over the years. And but I'll say the other one is everyone talks about being injected with the virus. Mm-hmm. And so this is a common misconception, and it grows from a myth that, you know, whenever you get a vaccination, they actually give you whatever the virus is, if it's chickenpox or whatever it is. And so it's that same thinking with COVID, and that is not true. So one of the things that we've done is have a number of community conversations where we convene health professionals and community members and just really deal with debunking all of those myths one by one. I just want to say for the record, the vaccination has no live COVID-19 virus in it. And so there's no need to fear that you're going to be injected with the virus in an effort to help you build up an immunity.
That is very important to share. I will repeat it again. You will not be injected with the live virus. And yeah, I think that is, you know, a common misunderstanding about how vaccinations work, or particularly this vaccination.
Yes.
You had mentioned that there was recently a mobile site that took place at Calumet New Tech High School. Talk to me about that, because I know there may be more to come.
Yes. So we were just in a discussion of having one at somewhere in East Chicago. A couple weeks ago, it was East Chicago Ivy Tech De La Garza campus. This past weekend, the Lake County Health Department had one at Merrillville High School. And so what we're going to see coming out of the success of so many of these mobile sites is just more and in varied areas. And so coming up this coming weekend, we'll have one there in East Chicago again. Gary is going to have one April 6th. We don't have exact dates. We don't have exact locations yet, but please check our website, canihelp.org.in. Please go to our Facebook page, Can I Help? And we will be posting that information as it becomes available. And then let me say for everyone, a wonderful resource is the Indiana State Department of Health Vaccine Dashboard. You go there, there's the most up-to-date information. You can literally register through that same link. And so it's a good place to go to get that up-to-date information if you just can't get to Can I. But try us first.
Yes, it's always good to have a local organization that you can go to get, you know, information that's happening right in your neighborhood, in your city or town. And so canihelp.org.
.in.
.in. Thank you for correcting me. Canihelp.in.
And then Can I at Facebook, on Facebook. So please look us up that way. That's Can I is Community Advocates of Northern Indiana. So if you look us up on Facebook as well, that's got great information as well.
Thank you so much, Tracy, for being here and for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my great pleasure and privilege.
And thank you for joining us this week on Neighborhood Voice. You can visit OurShot219.com for information about local COVID-19 resources in Northwest Indiana. This show is made possible by Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County, Indiana.